Welcome to the Medical Travel Show with your hosts, Elizabeth Ziemba and Irving Stackpole.
Welcome to the Medical Travel Show, a forum for ideas and discussions with global thought leaders from the world of medical travel. This is Irving Stackpole, and I'm not here today with my usual co-host, Elizabeth Ziemba. She is on her way to Guilin, China, to deliver a seminar on medical travel there. We are delighted to have with us this morning Jarrett Fowler, who is the Senior Manager for USCIP, the United States Cooperative for International Patient Programs. How are you this morning, Jarrett?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much, Irving, for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. And I'd like you to start by explaining to our audience what it is that USCIP is and what it does.
Sure. So, I'm, as you said, I'm the senior manager for the U.S. Cooperative for International Patient Programs, or USCIP, and we function essentially as a nonprofit membership association of U.S. hospitals that have a focus on international. So it's U.S. hospitals, academic medical centers, and health systems all across the states. And our mission is to advance global access to U.S. expertise in high-quality healthcare. So all of our hospitals have a focus on providing care to international patients, and increasingly many of them also are involved in all sorts of international collaborations across the world in terms of education and training, management and advisory service agreements, and the like. USCIP, as an industry association, we have a pretty broad portfolio of activities. We focus on research, benchmarking, education, and awareness building. As I mentioned, we, in terms of benchmarking, collect quite a bit of information about the international patient market coming into the United States for our hospitals and from the hospitals directly. We also collect information about the hospitals' international operations as a way for them to benchmark themselves against each other. We host an annual meeting every year for all of the hospitals to get together and compare notes and share best practices. We also work in really close collaboration with the U.S. Department of Commerce to help promote U.S. healthcare abroad.
Well, that's quite a broad portfolio. Thank you for that introduction. And I heard in part of what you said that you are busy collecting many different types of information or data from U.S. hospitals about international patients and their activities therein. How complex is that task, and what types of information do you attempt to collect?
Right. So that's a great question. So I would say that it's probably the most complex task that we do. It's pretty involved. So it has evolved from, in the last 5 or 6 years, I think, to become much more robust and a very sophisticated process by which we create a survey that we send out to all the hospitals on an annual basis. We have a very high response rate. Almost every hospital fills it out. Essentially what it asks, so for one, volume. So we ask about, where are your patients coming from? Inpatient, outpatient, peds, adult. We ask about operations, so looking at how international programs are structured at the different hospitals. We ask about the different services that they offer, telemedicine, remote second opinions. We ask about relationships with external organizations in terms of consulting and collaborations that they may have. It really runs the gamut of basically anything that an international department or program does, we try to capture it in our survey. I would say that it is probably the best information that is available about the dynamics of international patients coming into the United States available. probably mostly because it's coming directly from the hospitals themselves. And it's not really possible to replicate that elsewhere on the scale that we're doing it.
Right, certainly. I would think that's true. And the complexity of the task of collecting this must be enormous. So, for example, you want to try to count the number of patients. What do you count? Do you count the number of actual patients? Do you count the number of actual episodes? Do you count? How do you do that? And how do you create consistency across all those reporting institutions?
Right. Yeah, that is a great question. So that has those things that you mentioned have been the greatest challenges, I think, over the past few years. But I think that, we've been doing this long enough that the hospitals have become accustomed to the way that we're asking information. And everyone knows that, this is something that we do every year now, and that they all have to fill it out in a certain way. So essentially what we do is the survey itself asks about a specific time period. So it's looking at, a 12-month period between June and July. Every hospital has to go back into their record, find the information exactly how we're asking it, and then port it back. That way we can compare, apples to apples. And your other question about, how are we collecting volume information? So actually this year we've added something new, but traditionally we have been collecting information about outpatient visits and inpatient discharges by mm-hmm. country. This year we're actually adding another metric, unique patients by country. We also ask information about service line, looking at inpatient outpatient volume by service line.
That's extraordinarily rich and detailed information. Are the results of this survey available to folks outside of the USKIP membership?
So we just started, I think it was last year, started sending out a high-level overview of or releasing it via a PR news release, looking at aggregates and kind of sort of high-level data pieces. The minutiae and kind of the nitty-gritty of it, it's restricted to our membership. As you might imagine, some of the information that we're collecting, which includes gross charges as well, it's quite sensitive. The hospitals and USKIP, have traditionally been a bit more closed in terms of what we can share externally.
Certainly understood. One of the contingencies of reporting this information by the hospitals is probably that the information would be highly redacted, and it would be released only in summary form.
Correct.
I'm sure that access to this high-level information will be of great interest to our audience. How can they access these data points?
So, the first way to access the data points would be, to become a member of USKIP and submit data. So, in our membership, hospitals, they have to submit data to receive data. We released the aggregated information back to the hospitals. And then outside of that, there is currently not really there's not really a forum to release the information because of how sensitive it is. One of the other things that I will add that we're doing this year, actually, it's a new project that we're quite excited about. We're actually taking all of our historical data and we're creating a benchmarking dashboard tool. So instead of just having static reports, we're actually going to create a database that allows more interactive ways to look and compare and slice the different data longitudinally across years, which all of the members are very excited about. But again, as I said, this is restricted to members of the association.
Yes. Well, there needs to be benefits to membership, right?
Right.
So in 2009, my company did a survey of all of the hospitals in the United States that were at the time identified through the AHA, the American Hospital Association guide, and we asked them about their international patient departments. And the results we got were pretty consistent in that international patient services were a relatively small proportion of these. I think they were at the time there were 300 hospitals in the database out of 4,800 that reported having an international patient department. There were roughly very few hospitals, no hospital, in fact, had a budget percentage of more than 2.5% that was coming from international patients. Based on what you've seen and using that 2009 information as a very, very rough back-of-the-envelope estimate, do you think the proportion of international business or exports among academic medical centers and hospitals in the United States has gone up, going down, or staying about the same?
I would say, you know, without having it in front of me, but just historically, I do still think it remains small for most of the institutions. Especially, you know, when you look at some of the, you know, domestic volumes that some of our larger members are dealing with.
Sure.
It's small but important, of course. I don't think that. Doesn't vibe with kind of what we've seen. I think you're correct.
Do you think it's trending up with the recent spate of, the political environment that seems to be discouraging or at least throwing up potential or perceived barriers to foreign travelers coming to the United States? In your very rough estimation, is that having an effect on individuals seeking healthcare and medical services in the United States?
Right. I think that what we're currently in the process, as I said, right now, of collecting this past year's data. So we will soon find out the exact answer to that.
Right.
But anecdotally, I think that some hospitals have seen some decline. It's hard to kind of pinpoint, what exactly that might be attributable to. The industry does kind of run in cycles. After, for example, 9/11, there was a downturn and it picked back up. I think at this point, it remains to be seen. I think we need to gather a little bit more data before we can have a definitive answer.
Well, that's certainly, a careful answer from a research scientist. So I appreciate that. We'll be keen to see that. I'm sure that other destinations are looking at the potential for picking up some demand from historically strong source locations of medical.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So there's interest out there. So you mentioned branding, and certainly for the United States academic medical centers, their brands have become something of a valuable export to other countries. And simultaneous, last year at the conference in Washington, we were on the platform together, and USKIP rolled out their new branding for U.S. academic medical centers and U.S. medical services. So I'm wondering how you see the balance between the U.S. medical destination brand and U.S. providers exporting their brands to destinations. So Johns Hopkins and Mayo and Cleveland Clinic are using their brands in GCC, in other locations to attract foreign consumers. How do these brand dynamics, from your point of view, a very informed one, I would add, from your informed point of view, how do these brand dynamics play out, Jared?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a great question. So traditionally, the U.S. has not had a unified brand message, some other countries, for example, the U.K., Germany, they have been traditionally much better at having a kind of a cohesive brand message around, their national offering in terms of healthcare. And for the U.S., this is something that we wanted to do as well. And so we created Choose U.S. Health with our grant program that we currently have with the International Trade Administration of the U.S. Department of Commerce and in collaboration with our branding partner here in Chicago, Health Brand Group, HBG, and created a platform for patients and providers to be able to connect with directly with U.S. hospitals. And to answer your question, I see Choose U.S. Health as being complementary to some of these very strong brands that you mentioned, Mayo, Cleveland, Hopkins. And our members are very supportive of having a unified message, I think, around the value proposition of receiving healthcare in the U.S. The hope is that using this brand will help to strengthen their brands as well. And we use the Choose U.S. Health marketing and branding to when we go on trade events. I recently just went to a trade mission to China. It was a Choose U.S. Health trade mission, and we met with all kinds of different potential partners and collaborators in China. Under the banner of Choose U.S. Health, but then also, of course, with the hospitals who went with us, promoting their own brand. So I do see it as, cohesive, and, our goal is to help support and prop up our hospitals as much as possible.
That sounds like a terrific initiative. And are the hospitals and providers benefiting from the Choose U.S. Health brand initiative? How would hospitals or providers which are not part of USKIP, how would they leverage or take advantage of the investment in Choose U.S. Health?
Right. So that's a good question. So, currently the Choose U.S. Health brand itself is, limited to the hospitals that are, part of USKIP. We have been discussing internally, there may be a possibility to expand that to the broader ecosystem in some measured way, I would say. Currently, it's restricted to helping promote, hospitals themselves. But, that's not all that goes into, U.S. healthcare. It's not just hospitals. So, perhaps a future iteration of some of our work could involve, looking beyond even the hospital sector.
Terrific. I'm sure that would be of significant interest to a number of our U.S.-based audience. You also mentioned earlier you were, and I think, in fact, you used the word excited about the development of a dashboard that would help benchmark activity. Is this the kind of program, is the development of such a dashboard, is that the kind of process that could be exported to another country that's perhaps trying to develop or trying to sort out its international medical travel exports business as a way of standardizing and organizing and reporting the information? Famously around the world, we have to take indirect measures of the scale of medical travel to and from countries. The data you have at USKIP is probably among countries some of the best data available in the world. And I'm just wondering if certain destinations would benefit from the development and deployment of similar kinds of aggregate dashboards.
I think so, yes. And I think that it's been a labor-intensive process over the years. Well, first, the data in the dashboard, it comes from the data come from the survey that we do. So, and, you know, getting folks to sort of be on board with providing, you know, some very sensitive information, you know, I think it's taken some time. But I think that, you know, USCIP has positioned itself, you know, as the sort of the standard, I would say, in the industry, and, a trusted provider of information to the hospitals. And I do think that the survey that we have developed and the dashboard that we are now creating is probably something that I hope could be considered a best practice that other countries, you know, perhaps might want to emulate. You know, we're still in the development process right now for our dashboard, but we hope to roll it out within the next year or so. And not only that, one of the other things that we're looking at, you know, it's not just necessarily, you know, the data from the hospitals. We're also looking at, you know, are there other indicators economically, socially, that we might be able to pull in the dashboard to run different analyses and cross comparisons with our hospital data to make it a really robust tool to inform business decisions for hospitals that are doing international work.
Well, I think the data set is interesting, but the model, what you're collecting, is probably going to be highly instructive to other countries and other destinations as they explore further development of or make decisions about developing medical themselves as a medical travel destination. There are just very few good models out there, as you well know, that countries and destinations can emulate for the purpose of organizing and better understanding how this market, how the medical travel market impacts their local economy, impacts the national economy, and whether or not there's an ROI on this undertaking.
Right. Yeah, and as you mentioned, there are different ways and different types of organizations that are collecting this information. So the model is different, of course, in every country. And, you know, I think we're very specific in particular in that, you know, we're an industry association. We're very small, actually, USCIP. We have, I think, a total of about 3.5 FTEs total. You know, we are able to gather all of this information from all of the hospitals. And, you know, I think in other countries, you know, sometimes it's the government that is actually trying to collect it. And, you know, there are, of course, other models, but, you know, this is one way to do it. And it is, I think, proven to be, you know, very successful, I would say, for us.
Yes. And for our audience, an FTE is a funny traveling entrepreneur, right?
But no, it's a full-time employee. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have it. It's the acronym.
I think I like funny traveling entrepreneur better, Jarrett. Well, I want to thank you, Jarrett, for an extraordinarily informative conversation, and I'm sure our audience will be keen to follow up with you. Can you share with them how they can be in touch with you?
Sure. Yes, you can just email me. It's jfowler@nchl.org, or you can just visit our website, uscip.net.
And that's uscipp.net. Is that correct, Jarrett?
Correct.
Great. Well, thank you again to Jarrett Fowler from the United States Cooperative on International Patient Programs, or USCIP, for an outstanding conversation. This is Irving Stackpole. You have been listening to The Medical Travel Show. To hear more interviews, please visit our website, themedicaltravelshow.com. And if you would like to be a guest on the program, contact us through the Medical Travel Show website. Until next time, thanks for listening.